You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication.
Hey, it's Monday, everybody. It's been a wonderful weekend. I worked on Saturday. It was really light. I only had like 50 stops, so I finished up about 1:30, got home at 3. And it was just an absolutely beautiful day. I took some pictures on the way home from along the canyon, and just the Spanish Fork Canyon there, and it was just beautiful. There were so many reds and browns and ambers and things like that were just all over the mountainsides. If you haven't, I'm kind of like, I like to go out and drive and check this stuff out and go through these canyons. We have a Provo Canyon here in Orem that's just absolutely gorgeous when in the fall, and I'm amazed at the world I live in, and we have these seasons of change. I'm really happy I'm living in an area where the seasons change. You see the summer kind of going, the hot weather and the hot temperatures give away to a little cooler temperatures, and then you start seeing these changes in the leaves. It's just it makes you just feel good and makes you feel alive, you know. And I'm not really excited about, the winter coming and the snow and everything, because that means I got to drive in that stuff, which is it's not a lot of fun. It's exciting stuff. I opened up the show today with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Californication, and I've never been into the Red Hot Chili Peppers before. I mean, I like their music, but I don't listen to it a lot. But this song was on when I was coming home from work on Saturday, and I've never really listened to the lyrics too much, but I'd have to say these lyrics. I've tried playing a couple of songs that kind of were written before their time, and you're seeing things happen now that you're going, wow, these artists really kind of saw this stuff back in the mid 90s, early 90s, and the 80s and things like that. And these Red Hot Chili Peppers, these lyrics to this song, I don't know if you've ever looked at it. You probably know them. I don't know them. I know the chorus, the main line of it. But I wanted to read these to you. If you haven't, it's amazing how these things kind of go along with what's going on in the world today. Californication. Psychic spies from China tried to steal your mind's elation. Little girls from Sweden dream of silver screen quotations. Man, just get on YouTube or TikTok or mostly those two and just, wow, that's a crazy. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's the edge of the world and all the Western civilization. The sun may shine in the east, rise in the east. At least it's settled in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells Californication. look at California and you can believe that. Pay your surgeon very well to break the spell of aging. Celebrity skin, is this your chin, or is that war you're waging? Firstborn unicorn, hardcore soft porn. And then he goes into the lyrics. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but if you ever have a chance to really kind of look at the lyrics on these songs, and to check it out, because it's happening right it's happening right underneath our noses. And you have to be, I think you really need to be aware of you know, sometimes I think these guys are in their lyrics really see things like in the future. Somehow, I'm not sure they do, but you know, they see it. Maybe they just see it in things that are happening around them at the time, and they sing about it. And the more, and the longer the song is out, the more you see the progression of what they were talking about and what they wrote these lyrics about to come true, you know. And be aware of what's going on in around the world today, because it's very important to really understand what is happening to you and to your families, and to our society. It's really important that you pay attention. This week was general conference weekend for the church. This is the semi-annual conference. They have one in April, which is the annual conference, and that comes out of Salt Lake City. And this one is the semi-annual, which is in October, 1st of October every year. And what an amazing time that I spent listening and watching a conference this weekend. I'm not here to preach to anybody, you know, about whatever, about any religion or anything like that. But I'll tell you, that was some time well spent listening to counsel and, you know, the way that we are supposedly supposed to, you know, deal with things in the world today. What I enjoyed most and what I got out of it most actually were two things. Number one, need to look at your life as a, like, your own personal salvation. What do you need to do to bring yourself and draw yourself closer to God? Number one. You know, President Nelson had fallen, I guess, and he had hurt his back. He's 99 years old. I can't believe that. He's 99, just had his 99th birthday, and he fell, and I guess he hurt his back, and he's recovering. But he was sitting down at one of the conference chairs, and he was talking about thinking celestial. So anything in your life, think eternally, whatever's happening in your life, whether it's, you know, divorce, a death in the family, loss of job, you know, loss of a loved one in your family, whatever the difficulty you have. His counsel was to think of things celestial. Think of those things going on in an eternal nature. And he says you'll find that if you do, your heart will change, your mind will change, and you'll be able to deal and be able to cope with the things, and then you'll, as you do so, you'll feel more spiritual. You'll feel closer to your Heavenly Father, and I really believe that's true. I really do. And in saying that, I think that's what, you know, and I've addressed this in other episodes, you know, that I've talked about. As I think the number one issue that we have in this country, especially in the United States of America, because this country was found on the idea of God and a supreme being, and that we are all given inalienable rights that were given to us by a supreme being, by a God, by a Father in heaven. And this Constitution was written by inspired men. I have no doubt about that. That's just true. And this country and this land that we live on, that we are so privileged to be part of and to live in and to be born into, is a promised land. And it's promised, as long as we worship who we're supposed to worship and worship the God of this country, that we will be safe and that we will prosper. And if we don't, well, the adverse takes effect. And I think you're seeing that today in our society and our government. where we are, well, we're turning pages, and we are falling away from worshiping the Almighty God who gave us this land in the first place. And that's evident in all the, you know, if you look at the data today and look at our facts that are going on in this world, we continue to this free fall. And I've discussed this cliff that we're headed for, and we're all of just lawlessness and disobedience that it's becoming so visible now and so just right in your face anymore that it's undeniable. And the only thing that's going to change that, and I've talked about this before, the only thing that's going to change our country is each and every one of our own individual hearts and minds need to change. And I don't know if we are seeing it or not. You know, when I watch conference like this, it really kind of makes a stark comparison between the way that I should be living and the way that I try to live. But a stark comparison between the way the world is and the way that it should be. And it's not a real pleasant thing when you really look at it in terms of eternal life, celestial looking forward. And we really need to change that. And that's an individual thing, but I think what comes number one is that you have to recognize it. You have to understand truth is truth, okay, and that anything outside of that is a falsehood. I don't care if it's mingled in with a bunch of truth. I don't care if it's mingled in with a bunch of nice words and pleasant words that everybody wants to hear, to pacify people. And that's what we get today. But the truth is the truth. And we need to start opening our eyes and our ears and our hearts to what is true, and stop accepting, dishonesty in our media, in our government, and the people that represent us when we go to, and that's where you see it mostly. To be honest with you, the people I work with are good, honest people. They work hard. They go to work. But then you watch the news and you watch TikTok and you watch, you get on there and comment on anything on Twitter, and it's just a hot mess. And you get it on any social media, and it's just full of it's full of advertisements, number one. Probably 75%, 80% of the stuff it's either that or real estate or yoga women, showing their, spreading their legs and, expanding yoga beyond whatever I ever thought yoga would be before. But, everybody now wants to be an influencer. And I ask a question like, what, influencer for what? What are you influencing? What are you trying to influence? You got young women and married women who are attractive, who are basically selling themselves. Look at me, look at my beauty, look at my body, look at my breasts, look at my ass. And what's disturbing is you get husbands that support this, and like, you got boyfriends and husbands and relationships that support this kind of behavior. And I have to agree with my friend who helps me with my podcast. And most of it's just trash on social media. But why do we spend so much time on it? And why is our young people, why is it so attractive and so addictive? Well, I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers had an idea. It's a Californication of it. That's what we are. We're selling California values. And I really don't want those values at all. So it's going to be interesting as we continue to move forward. And talking about like how the government, how the government tries to kind of like sugarcoat things and powder puff things. I ran across this this clip of John Kirby. He was asked a question about military readiness and the new DOD policy about abortion. And if you don't think that, you know, the song that the Chili Peppers with the song, what it applies to what's going on in this world, you have to listen to this guy and in his reasoning behind the abortion policy. And I think you can even add the transgender policy in this as well. But they talk about the abortion policy. Just listen to why and how he frames this. It's, to me, it's incredible. And I'll explain it to you, you know, I'll explain my thoughts on this once you listen to it. Here it is.
Why is the new DOD policy on abortion critical to military readiness?
I'm really glad you asked that question. No, I mean, I really am. 1 in 5 members of the U.S. military are women, 20%. We're an all-volunteer force. Nobody's forcing you to sign up and go. People volunteer to go. You raise your right hand and you say, I'm gonna do this for a few years or even for my life. And it might cost me my life to do it. And when you sign up and you make that contract, you have every right to expect that the organization, in this case the military, is gonna take care of you, and they're gonna take care of your families. And they're gonna make sure that you can serve with dignity and respect, no matter who you are, who you love, or how you worship or don't. And our policies, whether they're diversity, inclusion, and equity, or whether they're about transgender individuals who qualify physically and mentally to serve, to be able to do it with dignity, or whether it's about female service members, 1 in 5, or female family members being able to count on the kinds of health care and reproductive care specifically that they need to serve. That is a foundational, sacred obligation of military leaders across the river. I've seen it myself, and it matters because it says we're invested in you because you are being willing to invest in us. You're investing your life, your family's livelihood with us. We owe you that back in return.
Okay, now if you listen to that, if you listen to John Kirby, he says two things here that I think are just completely false, and it shows you how this administration and how this whole abortion issue is looked at as far as what it goes with the military, as far as the military goes. They completely misunderstand the mindset and the hearts of those who are going into the military, both female and male people. They just don't get it. They misunderstand it. And the problem is that they're managing this from the top down instead of looking at what the needs of the individual service people are. And I think this applies more to Army and Marines. I don't see it. Well, it applies to all the military, of course. The whole DOD and the whole policy applies to it. But what I'm going to talk about is those people who are actually being trained to go out and fight and defend this country, give their lives if necessary for the country. You're going into the Army and the Marines to basically be taught to kill or be killed. It's kind of a sad thing, but war is not a beautiful thing. It's a terrible, bad thing, but you have to train your people, your soldiers to protect themselves and to make sure that they are killing the other person before they get killed themselves. And these people, I just don't think that they get it. They look at the policy as the God-given, you know, thing to the world, and this is what, you know, this is what we're going to do, and that people, and that women especially, women aren't going into the military in the numbers, and men aren't going into the military in the numbers they used to because of, well, they don't have the rights. You know, he brings up Alabama laws that have been passed about abortion in those countries, and he's almost like is not it doesn't defend them at all, but he looks at them as a bad case scenario of people who serve in Alabama. You know, what do those women do? And they're leaving in droves because he thinks that they're leaving in droves because of the policies of kind of like almost like anti-abortion type of policies. And he doesn't get it at all. Okay, let me tell you something. I got a son who's serving in the Navy, and I've talked to a lot of service people, both men and women. And here's why they aren't, this is why you don't have people enlisting in the military anymore, because they don't like where the military is going. Just like 75, 80% of the country doesn't like the direction this country's going and the administration has been pushing, the military aren't reaching their goals for enlistment because they don't like the policies of the government. They don't like the abortion policies, and they don't like the transgender policies. They don't like the diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. They don't like the critical race theory policies. They don't want to be involved with it. So a lot of people who are thinking about going into the service aren't thinking about going into the service because they don't want to deal with that crap. And people who are in it, as soon as their gig's up, you know, their 3 years or 5 years, whatever they're in for, they're not re-upping. And it isn't because a woman doesn't have a right to an abortion in the state of Alabama. They just don't understand the mindset of the people that go in to serve the military. There's a completely different type of person that goes into the military. And that person is an extremely dedicated American. They want to fight. They want to. It almost like you want to consider the rednecks of the country who are they're political, but they're patriots. They just want to fight. They just want to protect, and that's what they go in to do. Okay, yeah, you do. You have some nuts and you have some crazies that go in. Of course, that's part of it. But most of them are people that just want to serve. You know, that's my son. My son wanted to go in and serve. He went into the Navy right out of high school. He wanted to serve. He kind of didn't know where he wanted to go with his career and things like that. And he's using it as an opportunity to have some time to think and to develop a skill that he can use outside. I didn't think he would go past 5 years, but he's looking at planning on staying in and re-enlisting. In the Navy. I ask him what's going on a lot of times, and he shares with me what these policies are. I'm not going to, but he's not happy with them, and he paints a completely different picture than what Mr. Kirby's painting, trying to propaganda on this thing here. It isn't about women's rights to have an abortion and to, you know, or not to have an abortion. That's not the reason why they're leaving. That's not the reason why they are not enlisting. Okay, it is because of those. They don't want those things. The military has moved away from its objective, and they are not doing what they are supposed to. They are not training and developing these new recruits, these new candidates, the way that they're supposed to be. They're more worried. You know, you get these service people that are going in this diversity and equity and inclusion classes and being indoctrinated and all that stuff. You even have generals that don't even understand why they are doing certain things. I played a clip on the last episode where you had that 3-star lieutenant general, and he was being asked questions about the policy for a grant program, an educational program that was for, I can't remember what it was, degenders or something like that, and agenders, and he didn't even know what they were. Yet these specific educational opportunities were only geared to those people. 99% of the other people wouldn't qualify for those particular grants and those particular opportunities for education. But the general didn't even know what those definitions, didn't even know what those terminologies meant. Yeah, here they are. They're teaching this stuff. A three-star general is teaching this stuff. They don't. They. I'm telling you that we. I worry about our military. I really do. I really worry about the training that these military people are getting, because they're just focusing on the wrong things, and I just don't believe that Kirby gets it. And then at the end of the thing, he continues on. He talks about, I think the reason why they're doing this is it because their enlistments. They think that, you know, this new abortion issue, this new abortion policy, and these trans are going to get people to actually join. And their numbers are so far down. And it's, these policies are not going to motivate somebody to join the service. They just aren't. And that is factual, and that is truth. And, you need to start looking at the truth here. That's why I talked about the truth earlier on in this podcast. Truth is truth. You need to accept it and live it. Okay, don't try to change it. And I think it's because we have a president of the United States, and we have an administration that wants to do everything and wants to govern from the top down and push all their philosophies onto all of us. In the military, something they have more control over. They don't have control over you and I, except when they cause inflation, they spend, giving billions and billion dollars to foreign entities and which they shouldn't be doing, and the expenditures that have caused inflation. Now the average American person is suffering because of the inflation. They won't take responsibility for it, but this top-down kind of ideology. Now that's where we start now. It's like, it's, well, just look at the car, the three big car dealership, not dealerships, but manufacturers. You get the UAW right now, who's striking. They're asking for, what, a 42% pay increase over 4 years, and they're asking for some other 32-hour work week instead of a 40-hour work week. And all that is due to the policies of the government and Joe Biden and the Green New Deal and all this shit, okay, and pushing these EVs onto these car manufacturers, and to tell you the truth, I'm pushing them on all corporations, and now they're losing money. These big car dealers, and I keep saying dealers, these car manufacturers are losing just bags of cash. I mean, to the tunes of billions of dollars, because of these EV policies that the government is forcing down onto them, that they have to produce. It's not happening. It's not happening because it's not what the American people want right now. Okay, maybe 5 years down the road, 10 years, maybe, I don't know, maybe so, I don't know. But right now, people don't want a Ford F-150, an electric 150 or 250 or 350. They want a gas-powered, 1,000 horsepower truck that they can pull multiple, horse trailers and cattle. They don't want the EV. Yet these car producers, these car manufacturers are forced to because of the present. And guess what? And now what's going to happen is that the UAW is going to get what they want. Car manufacturer going to do that. And then what's going to happen? They're going to fail. The government's going to come out and bail them out. We've already seen this back in the early 2000s. Okay, we've already seen this. It's going to be a replay. And I don't know why we don't learn this. And I guess we're just stupid or something. We don't learn this. And what's going to take place is that EVs are going to be more expensive. Cars are going to be more expensive. And then what's going to happen is they're going to continue to lose money. The workers at the auto plants are going to lose their jobs. They're going to be out of jobs, and it's going to create a worse issue. And that's the scenario that you are watching unfold right in front of your eyes. You just wait and see. Today is October 2. You just wait and see what happens with the UAW and the strike that's going. Biden wants to say, oh, these union workers need to make a good, fair living wage and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, in the meantime, what you're going to do is destroy the whole auto industry. And then what's going to happen is when they don't make it, then me, the average, the average Joe Schmo out here who's working for a living, our taxes are going to go to pay those to pay those increases, that 42% increase in these auto dealers. Now, I'm not against anybody getting a raise. I ask for raises all the time, right? Everybody should get a raise, but not when you know exactly what the scenario is going to produce. You know exactly what's going to take place. You're going to get your raise. They're going to fail. They're going to need to be bailed out, and the taxpayer is going to pay for it again, just like we did before. We bailed them out before. We're going to bail them out again. These big corporations, they get into trouble. They use non-business-like policies, and they start to fail. And what do we have to do? Oh, they're too big to fail, so we're going to bail them out, and we're going to the taxpayer is going to do this. You know, it's all going to come back to you. It's all going to be paid for by you and me. And they need to nip it in bud. They need to say, not going to happen this time. And I wish the auto, the owners, these big three would just sit there and say, we're not going to do this. We're not going to give in to this again. We've already seen this. We've seen this play, this movie over and over again. And we're not going to do it this time. And that's the idea behind this clip with Kirby. You know, when are we going to learn that you don't go against what the market is wanting to bear? Okay, if you want people to go into the military, in which the numbers are severely down, you don't push policies that are going to keep those people out. Okay, and those policies aren't. They are not going to motivate people to go into the military. They aren't, and they are keeping people out of the military. They are stifling enrollment into the military. And who's going to suffer? The American people are going to suffer. This country's going to suffer because we got unqualified people who are going into the service who aren't happy. They go into it and they aren't happy. They're leaving after a few years. After, guess what? They go there, they get their GI Bill, they get their education paid for, and they come out and they've done their 3 years and they don't want to do anymore because they're tired of dealing with inclusion and equity and being brainwashed. So, Mr. Kirby, with all due respect, you don't have an effing idea what you're talking about. Yet you're going to use flattering words. You're gonna try to appease the left. You're gonna try to appease these people that represent a very small portion of this world and of this country, and the United States of America and its people and its citizens are gonna suffer as a result. You just wait and see. Mark, like I said, mark today. Mark it. Monday, October 2nd. Just watch what happens with the strike with the auto workers. Just wait and see. And then give it a year or so, and just wait and see what happens. They're going to fail. They failed once before. They were bailed out, and they're going to fail again. And you and I are going to be holding the receipt for that, and it's going to come out of your and I's tax dollars. Our taxes will go up, and so we're going to have inflation. We're going to have interest rates that are through the roof. Homes are going to be more expensive. You can't buy a home. Those rates are going to continue to go up. People are not refinancing their homes because they can't. You know, they're not going to refinance their home. They got 3.5 or even something like 2.75, three points, and now they're going to go to 7. Yeah, right. There's no refinancing going on right now. This man has completely and utterly, single-handedly destroyed the housing market, and he'll continue to destroy it. He will. The average house is now, what, over $400,000 in cost. Interest rates are 6 to 7%. People aren't going to buy those. And people who are thinking about selling their houses, who have a ton of equity in their house and want to get out, they can't. Because they're going to have to go out and buy another house somewhere at 6 or 7%. And when they're paying a 2.5%, 3.5% interest rate, they're not going to do that. They're going to hold on to it for a little bit longer. How long is that going to be? Nobody knows. It's going to be around as long as this dumbass continues to be president of the United States. And these policies continue to make their way. This spending spree is going to continue on. Look at the Congress. They've passed a stopgap bill till like the middle of November, I guess, to keep the government running. But they failed to talk about the, I guess they have $24 billion more that they want to give Ukraine for their, you know, whatever, you know, to keep their, you know, EMT workers working and their Social Security working, but ours is failing over here in our country. But we're going to give $24 billion to this moron over there who's threatening the United States if we don't. You can't make this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. That's why at the beginning of this, I talked about General Conference, because things change when you see the truth, and people need to start seeing the truth and accepting the truth and saying, okay, this is not good where we are, and we need to start changing that. It gets into who you're going to vote for and things like that, but those people aren't going to change anything. It's you and I that need to do this. You and I are the people that really need to do this. And to stop this train from going off its tracks, or, you know, doing a Hail Mary over the cliff. Because that's where we're headed. And we're just barreling down the tracks at 1,000 miles an hour. And we're just either ignoring the signals or don't care or something like that. And I get it. It's easy to get it wrapped up, you know. It's easy just to, you're going to work, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to raise your family, your kids going to baseball and soccer games, you got kids going to college, and you're just trying to make ends meet, and you feel like you're lost, you feel like you're not making any headway anywhere, and you don't have time to really kind of like think, you know, really kind of give this a lot of thought. Well, here's an idea. It's an easy idea, okay? Start somewhere, and my advice would be to start going to church on Sunday. And I don't care if you're Jewish, Christian, Muslim, I don't care what you are, go to church, start learning, and start hearing, and start hanging around people that have similar principles and standards, and then teach those standards to your children. And I'm not saying what you're teaching them is wrong or bad, I'm just saying what you're going to learn in church is going to be better than what the world is going to be teaching your children at school and by our government. Trust me, if we start turning this trend around of not going to church and one generation after another generation falling away from religious beliefs, if we don't turn that around, then we are lost, and we need to do that. I love this country, and I believe it's a chosen land, and we are honored and blessed to live in this great country under this Constitution, under these Bill of Rights, and we can at no cost let that be destroyed by people who want to destroy it. And trust me, these people, that's what they want to do. They don't have anything better in place. They don't have any other ideas. Okay, they just know that they don't like the Constitution of the United States. They don't like a people that have free thought processes, freedom of speech. They don't like the idea that you can protect yourself in the Second Amendment. They don't like, they're weaponizing the law, and the DOJ they're weaponizing justice against their enemies. That's evident. Just pay attention to what's going on. And make a difference. But you know what? Start one place, one thing that you can do. You know, you can always go to a baseball game. You can always you can go to a football game. You can go to a baseball game. You can go camping. Go to church. Make that the number one thing that you do. With you and your family, develop your faith back in God again and put Him first in your life. And things will start changing around. Okay? Hey, thanks for joining me. I do appreciate it. If you have any comments, please get me at rob@robscottpodcast.com. Check out my website at robscottpodcast.com. Like always, all these shows are on Apple and Spotify and whatever, you know, format you like to use, that's there. please give me 5 stars, share it with your friends, please share it. I'm trying to build my audience just like anybody else is, and I would love to increase the number of people because my message is getting out. I'm just a little small guy here, and I appreciate any, you know, if you can share it with your friends. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening.